The scripture lesson is taken from 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'm verse, but this is just a couple of minutes. So listen, the word of God. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the Wadi, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the Wadi. That's called the brook. But after a while, the Wadi dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks, so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him up in the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. our awesome God, our loving God, our faithful God, our holy God. This morning, we have come into your house, into your presence, to be with you and to ponder upon your word, to meditate it, and to apply to our own selves what we are learning, what we are listening. So we pray that you open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we will listen to your voice. And may you hide your servant behind your cross, that whatever is in your heart, you want to communicate to us, that you will speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, just we thank you from the bottom of our heart, my wife and myself, for your faithful prayers, finance, and personal involvement partnership with ISI. Since 1976, we know this church, and the church has stood with us for all these years. We have ministered to people from around the world. Thousands of students have come around in Princeton, New Jersey, and their family, and now they are scattered in 150 different countries. We are thankful for those opportunity God has given us for 46 years. And now we are starting a new chapter again with ISI, continuing the ministry, but our ministry is more connected with our alumni who are scattered all over the world in 40 different countries, 150 alumni right now, and we are ministering to them. So last month, we were appointed by ISI as a global specialist on the international team to evangelize, disciple, and mentor 150 Princeton ISI alumni. And now we are helping our leader, the director of Global Reach Ministry, to really create and form a core teams for South Korean alumni who are in South Korea, or those who return there, but those who are living also in America. Also, we are helping him to really form a core team of networking for Hong Kong alumni in Hong Kong and South Asian alumni in America. So our work is really growing very much. We are excited about it. We have two Zoom meetings, weekly meetings, and 25 people attend those meetings, women and men, from Brazil, from Canada, from India, from Japan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, North Carolina, Ohio, California. Besides that, our alumni also visit us. Dr. Daniela from Brazil, she is right now in Houston. She came and visited us last month. She was with us about 9 years ago as a visiting research fellow in Princeton University, and she is growing in the Lord. She just gave us a joy to see that how much she is growing. Her son is growing in the Lord, and she is really working with a tech company. Then we have a Zoom meeting with Professor Dali and his wife Ling Li. Now Dali was here and his wife in 1993. That's what, 30 years ago? So if you have your math without calculators, then it is 30 years. But those who use calculator may have a hard time. So it's 30 years ago, Dali and Ling Li came to Princeton University. He was enrolled as PhD students in political science. And when they arrived, we came to know about their arrival. So we sent one of our ministry partners, Dick Hensler, to pick them up from Philadelphia bus stop. So only last month, as we were talking, and we had Zoom meeting with Dali and his wife, Ling Li, they say, you know, 30 years ago, Dick Hensler came and picked us up from Philadelphia bus stop. We have not forgotten that. And then Ling Li say that because my English was so bad, I had a personal English practice tutor, Marge Nice. She helped me a lot, and to my young daughter who was born, just to really help her in English. And she said, we are forever grateful for these friends who really helped us out. What does it mean is that Lord is really had planted those seeds in the lives of Dali and Lingli. Not more than that, that Lingli has just joined Global Christian Fellowship, which my wife Aruna is leading on Wednesday afternoon. So Lingli was not going to any church at this point. They were going to Chinese church, but Chinese church had some problems, so they stopped going. So our first question was, how are you doing spiritually? What church are you connected? And when we found it out, they are not connected yet. So we invited Lingli. So now she is joining and joined Aruna's Bible study. Dali is a prominent professor of political science in University of Chicago. And Lord has really blessed him so much. So he's mindful of what God has done. Last week we had a call from Lu Zhang, a Chinese girl again, and her husband was PhD student in Princeton University 20 years ago. And he's not a believer, but she became a believer. So Aruna invited her in her Bible study. At that time we had in-person activity, and now she is in Canada. But she is so much touched by what ISI had offered to her and her family. Aruna spent every week going to her apartment, and because she has a little baby, and taught her Bible. So now Lu Zhang is involved in a Chinese church. She's so much burdened how to reach out to Chinese people who are now coming from China to Canada with their young children, and their young children need how to learn English and how to really adjust to new environment. So what is happening that she had a burden and she had a vision that what Aruna did for her 20 years ago, she wants to do for these young people in Canada. So she motivated her church, young people, 20 of them, and they say, you are the people in your class, all these kids are coming. Would you really befriend them, mentor them, help them? So this new project or new program just started a week ago. What an exciting thing what God is doing. It's beyond our wildest dream. But this morning I want to really focus on this passage on Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17. We are introduced three major characters. One is the living God, second Ahab the king, and third Elijah the servant. The Bible does not provide biodata of Elijah. He suddenly appears, provides a brief introduction as the servant of the living God from Tishbe, and delivers a profound message to Ahab. The God of Israel lives, and I serve the living God. The New Testament speaks of him more often than of any other Old Testament prophet. So if you read your New Testament, look about Elijah. It was in 1976, I received a call from our home office, Colorado Springs, and they invited me and Aruna to join ISI staff and start the chapter in Princeton. Immediately I asked prayer from three godly men. One was Pastor Robert Beringer, Bob Beringer from Hopewell Presbyterian Church, if you remember some names. Another was my own professor, Professor Bruce Metzger from Princeton Seminary. He was my mentor. And then Reverend Ed Morgan. And they all say that we prayed about it, and this is the call God is giving you to start the chapter in Princeton. I was not sure how we will be doing that, because I did not have really home church. I didn't have any very mission budget. I had no idea how to do fundraising, but the call was so clear that Lord has called us into this ministry. This was a totally new concept, but I waited. And so I read this chapter, and I read these first few verses, and it says that I have commanded the ravens to feed you. And I am a biologist, zoologist from my background. And I know about ravens, little bit. But so I say that this is amazing. that how God is going to really provide my need. But when I was searching the word ravens on Google, the first word appeared, and this is Google research, Baltimore Ravens. And so you know Baltimore Ravens, that's the football team. But forget about that. But when I search a little bit more, then he said that these ravens are common ravens, have coexisted with humans for thousands of years. And in some areas have been so numerous that people have regarded them as pests. They are omnivorous, so they can eat anything and everything. They are intelligent, but above all, they are selfish. And that really touched me because we are selfish. We as a human being, selfish. But the Lord commanded ravens to meet the need of Elijah. Daily need, twice delivery, morning and evening. So you can imagine that what an amazing thing can happen. It was a direct delivery by some of the fastest company, like Amazon now. My daughter was here, and we needed some new cases for our phone. And yesterday afternoon, she really ordered new cases. And last evening, one case came. This morning, another case came from Amazon. So here you find it out that these ravens were a discreet messenger on a discreet mission. The Lord used very special service of these ravens. They brought bread and meat twice a day, better than once a day provision for the Israelites in the desert manna. I wonder whether they were the same ravens or different ravens. Whether they had specific job assignment, like different 12-hour shift, or maybe once a week, or once a month. I don't know. But I know one thing, that they came and they really brought food for Elijah because of the commandment of the Lord to ravens. And Elijah had one thing to do. He has to graciously accept what food these ravens were bringing. It can also bring lots of surprises. How long this mission operated, I don't know. Or we don't know. 1 month, 6 months, a year or more, we don't know. But ravens kept on providing meal, morning and evening. And I'm thankful that last 46 years when we are with ISI, so many people Lord brought into our lives, according even this church, that they really met our needs. They met the need of the students. Murray and Fred Zakluk befriended a Palestinian couple. Farouk was doing PhD in political science, 1976. His wife, Naila. And Murray and Fred befriended him, and Fred has gone with the Lord, but Murray is still, at this age, keeping up relationship with this widow, Naila. So you find it out that God is really doing amazing thing. There was a student in Princeton Seminary when we were students. He and his wife donated their first car to our ministry. We had no cars. We had two young girls, and we had just arrived in Princeton. And so I asked David and his wife, Mary, why do you donate your car to us? And what he said was very interesting. He said, the Lord had put in our hearts that we have used this car for 6 years. And according to the Bible, 7 years is the year when you release. So even though it's such a good car, station wagon, they really gave us that car. And we were so thankful that that car really gave right to so many students over the years. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, said that far better have no money at all, even to buy food, for there are plenty of ravens in China, and the Lord could send them again with bread and flesh. Lord is able to provide our needs. But after some time, verse 7 says that later the brook dried up. the wadi, it says, but brook. And we thank the Lord that that happens all the time in your life, in my life. And you just think about it, that how many times God really met your need miraculously, amazingly, without even your thinking. Lord commanded somebody to really meet your need, to visit you, to help you, to encourage you. By the time that time comes when this wadi brook dried up. And that happens in our ministry all the times, last 46 years. But because Lord has called so many volunteers in our ministry over the years, ministry partners, but now many have gone to the Lord. So whatever support they were supporting us financially, it stopped. But then Lord really increased our faith more and more and more. I like about Elijah's just picture with me, as that brook was drying up, his faith was getting stronger. We work in India in a remote part called Nagaland. And Nagaland has that area has the highest amount of rain, over 400 inches of rain per year. So when it rains, it rains, it rains, it rains like Noah's days. But we are living on the hill, so all the water goes up. But when winter comes, there is no rain. So that couple of months we have to struggle hard. So as we were there first time, they had given us tar drum. You know what tar drum is. And now we have to collect our water there. So we knew that we were using that water for everything, for drinking, for cooking, for everything. But as the tar drum's water was getting down and down and down, we were crying out to the Lord because we didn't have any water in our home. No system, no water. It's just we have to wait upon the Lord, or we have to fetch it from the valley. So what happens is that many times during our 2 years in Nagaland, in the winter, at the night time, I will go out and I say, Lord, you are the same God. You are God of Elijah. And you provided rain and you stopped rain, so we need water. And you know that couple of times it happened that in the middle of the night there was lightning and thundering and rain came, and Lord filled up those drums again. So which lasted for a couple of weeks. Again we have to depend on. But God is able to minister our need in amazing way. And so our faith was growing when the brook dried up. And the second thing happens now here is that God is now sending Elijah to the widow. So let me just say where I am here. Okay. So when God said that you go to Elijah, to widow, though the first partner were ravens, Elijah was not asked to go to them, present his need, and ask them to join as mission partners. To me, it was like George Mueller style. Even though we suffered financially sometime, the Lord raised up mission partners, and that did increase our dependence. So this widow comes, and what happens is, I'm just saying the hesitant pastor. When Elijah met this widow and asked for bread, asked for water, what was her response? My first thing is that how he identified this woman. I don't know, because Bible doesn't tell us. It's like when Jesus sent those two disciples and said, go to the village, you'll find a donkey tied there, and with her, colt by her. Untie it, and if the owner asks, the Lord needs them. What signs he gave to widow, even we don't know. The Lord, but when Elijah asked and requested for water and bread, she must have screamed. What did you say? Are you crazy? Don't you know my family situation? Elijah comforts her with the promise that Lord will really help you. Just you do your part. And many times when Lord comes to you and me, and ask some questions to do, I think you and I are also hesitant partner. How can I say to you is that one time I was walking in on Nassau Street, when we started, there was Woolworth. How many people know about that Woolworth store in Princeton, Nassau Street? Or somebody is raising hand. So I was going into Woolworth store, and there was a young man coming out from there. He was an Indian guy. And I just totally want to ignore him. I say, Lord, I don't want to talk with one more Indian. I'm tired. When I talk to them, they are not open for the friendship. And when they find out I'm Christian, they are not really interested. So I really avoided him. And so when I had walked about 10, 15 feet on opposite direction, Lord's Spirit really again spoke to me, you need to talk to this guy. So finally, I turned around, and then he turned around from the other side. And our eyes met to one another. So we came back, and we greeted each other. I said, I'm John Desai, and he told me my name is John Ooman. And found out that he was Christian, visiting from Canada. He was a scientist for a seminar in Princeton University, just for a day. So I told John Ooman, I say, hey, John, I only know one Ooman in India with that name. And he says, what's her name? And I say, her name is Amy Ooman. And he said, that's my sister. Now, I grew up in North India. And Annie grew up in South India. But we both met each other in InterVarsity camp. So I met Annie, and I knew about Annie. She became a doctor and married to a wonderful evangelist, Zach Poonen. If you have found that name, he's one of the best preacher in India. So I was reluctant to really, or hesitant to meet John. But Lord was interested that I should meet him. How many times you and I do that? We are just grumpy. Jonah was asked to go, and he said, I don't want to go. But when we become reluctant or hesitant, God is really very patient with us. And he encourages us. And he promises us that if you go one step, I'll bless you. If you help somebody, I'll help you. I will encourage you. I'll meet you all your needs. And over the years, we have found it out that Lord has met our needs in amazing way. But what really is interesting and to me is that, have you opened your home for a long-term guest? If guest comes in your house or in your home, maybe you are tired in a 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. I don't know how long Elijah stayed with widow. I have no idea. But sir, it is exhausting to feed an adult 2 times a day and really do that hospitality. But this woman had done that hospitality amazing way. And that's why the Lord really even blessed her. Our mission partners who have worked with us over the years, this Eileen has really, Redding and her husband David, had really befriended a couple from South Africa. And they are Hindu friends. And these Hindu friends are still with us. They are in South Africa, retired, very prominent mathematicians. But they call Aruna every 2 weeks. And we are still friends. But when first time we took Lalitha and Pubalan to Redding's place, David and Eileen Redding, she was just, what do you call it, she was so scared. And English is my fourth language, so I struggle. But she was, shaking. She was shaking because she had never met a white couple in South Africa where she can really meet and interact with them. And here, for the first time, we take her into the white couple's family, and she was hiding behind Aruna. But these people became the best mission partners for Pubalan and Lalitha. And Pupal and Lalita, after a few years, they came back for their sabbatical. He was his professor, and they said, no, these were our best friends. We met our best friends in Princeton through ISI. So that's a hesitant friends became happy friends, reluctant friends become reliable friends, and that's what God is the way we are using you and me, that they witness every day the miracle of impacting our international friends. Let me give you the other thing is that those who are helping like you and me, it's not always the rosy pictures for them. The lives of mission partners are not always rosy. And you and I have experience. They go through a lot of pain. They lose pastors. You see that retired pastor. They lose jobs. They lose health. They lose family members, friends. And that's where this widow was there. When her son died, she was hurting so badly. And what was she was feeling discouraged, she was feeling guilty, and so she says she was feeling like Naomi. Naomi said, don't call me Naomi. She told him, call me Mara, bitter, because the Almighty has made my life bitter. So this widow's life was bitter. She came to Elijah. And why this has happened is God is reminding me of my sins. God is not kind to me. And that's where the situation happens that our mission partners, many times they are hurting and our ministry is to them. When David, our friend, vice president in International Bank in New York, he lost his job. So he calls me from his office in New York. And he says, I just want to let you know you are the first person that I no longer be able to support you financially. I just lost my job. And I say, don't worry about it, because we have learned to be content whatever the circumstances are. I know what is to be in need, when to be in need, and when I know also how to live in plenty. Last year, our friend lost his wife. And every week I'm calling him. I know he's hurting. So first few days, few months, he will not really open up. But now more, little and little, because men are not really always very open emotionally. But now I meet him, and last week I met him, and he said, you know, I just thinking about my wife, just tear comes into my eyes. And so I cried quietly. Hurting friends, we need to minister to them. So this widow was hurting, and Elijah really ministered to her and prayed for her son and brought him to life. What a powerful, powerful message we have. But then the next thing is that we need to really hold these partners in our hearts. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for one another. Those who are helping us, those who have helped us over the years, those who are our family members, our friends. And whether every Sunday we are praying for you, that Lord will really bless you, encourage you, strengthen you. We visit people, those who are lonely, a widow. We visited her in Lancaster. And she says, I am lonely all day long. I don't know what to do. Aruna calls her almost every 2 weeks. And when she calls, it's about 1 hour telephone, because the other side, the friend is lonely. We have a friend, we found it out, she has a pancreatic cancer. And so I call her almost every week. How are you doing? She says, I don't know. She has opted not to take any chemo. She says, I'm just waiting when the Lord calls me. So I don't know when Lord calls her, so I'm just calling her. But that's that praying and holding our mission partners, our friends, in our prayers are important. Personal visit it takes time. Maybe cooking meals, it takes time. Maybe texting, visiting sick and dying. Cliff and his wife Sarah met my family on the first Sunday of their arrival in February 1976. They became great ministry partner or mission partner. His wife died some 20 years ago. Last 3 years, he was bedridden. We call him, we took homemade food for him, we prayed for him and with him, and we sang hymns at his bedside, which he loved so much. His lawyer, who was his Sunday school student and his caretaker, informed us about his condition. On many occasions when he was hospitalized, we were the first to visit him. He was a prayer warrior, a great friend, a mentor, partner, encourager. In last year, every time when we visited, he said to us, "The Lord has been so good to both of you." Yes, he watched us for over 40 years. So one day, David, his lawyer, called us and encouraged us that he is at the end of the journey, Cliff. We visited him and he revived again. But on Sunday, January 10th, the Lord put on Aruna's heart that we must visit him. So we call his caregiver, Doris. She's from Ghana. She was surprised to hear our voice because Cliff could barely whisper. He had stopped eating as well as drinking. On Saturday, January 9th, he whispered to Doris that, "I want to see someone." Doris asked him, "Should I call your lawyer?" He nodded no. "Should I call your pastor?" He nodded no. "Should I call Aruna and John?" He nodded yes. That was Saturday. And Sunday, on our heart, he was there. So, but Doris had misplaced our number, and she was planning to call us on Sunday. During our last visit, he was ready to leave this earth. But when he saw us, he took Aruna's hand and whispered, "I love you." These were his last words. Then he went into deep sleep, and on Monday, the Lord called him home. You know, we share these stories because that's real. As a missionary, we had twofold ministry. One is to really minister to students and now graduates, alumni. But the other side is those who are standing with us like you, those who are praying with us, those who are really supporting us, that we need to take care of you. So here is Cliff's story. We have attended so many funerals, traveled so many places. But one thing is that we need to hold our partners, our friends, our family members, whom God has used to provide our needs, like Elijah's need, by ravens, by widows. We need to really also very carefully think about how we can consistently pray for them, intercede for them, visit them, love them, care for them, and be led by the Spirit of God. Why we are sharing that? Because James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. I like also New King James, Elijah was a man with nature like ours. He was just like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. My prayer for me, for my family, for you is that may we remain faithful to the Lord, who has redeemed us, called us, and then we keep on serving you, our mission partners, and many others, those who are standing with us. So may the Lord really put into practice in our lives application from Elijah is how God has met your need. Maybe write it down in a notebook that how many times Lord really blessed you, how many times Lord asked you to go somewhere and ask for help. We are very proud people. We don't want to ask for help. We want to help everybody, but when it comes to our help, asking, we are so proud. I was proud. I had somebody who really, what you call it, gently the word I am is not rebuke, but the word is that gently given me advice. John, if you don't share your need, how do we know? We need to know your need. And I say, well, but I don't want to let you know my need, because otherwise I am manipulating you. I want you to pray so the Lord will really speak to you. But it's both way traffic. Billy Graham Association always asked for also gift and also waited upon the Lord. So when Lord gives you that humility to ask for help, go and ask for help from somebody. And don't be so, what I say, is proud. But then those who are standing with us know that they are hurting in one way or other. Ask the Lord how to minister to them. And then keep on praying, keep on ministering, keep on loving them. Because Lord is going to multiply your life, bless your life. Your fruit will be lasting forever. As I say that, the friends, 47 years ago we met a friend from Tanzania and befriended him. And now he became Vice President of World Vision Internationals for East Africa for 20 years. We met this guy 47 years ago, and he was from Nigeria. He got his PhD from Princeton University, returned home, became outstanding professors and mission leader in Nigeria. His mission organization is supporting 650 missionaries with Nigerian money in 60 different countries. So God is really using this ministry. So learn from Elijah. Let's apply that to our life. The Lord will really keep on blessing us. So remember this, Elijah had a heavenly partners. He had also hesitant partners. Sometimes we are doing, he were hurting partners. And we, our ministries, hold them tightly in our prayers, in our lives. May the Lord bless you.